Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? I think it's extremely fitting that the topic that we're going to talk about today is distracted, and we had a ton of distractions going on back here. Is that not? I think that's cool. What do you guys think? I love it. And what do? We don't care. We just push through. This is especially how we do it in youth. That's right. Hey, for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Matt Lincoln, and I am the youth pastor here. And I think it's important that you know a couple things about me before I start talking about this whole topic of being distracted. I know what it's like to be distracted. I know what distracting is all about. So not only am I the youth pastor here, but I also work up in Phoenix at a Fortune 500 company. Some of you might have heard of it. It has to do with pets. So I'm a senior director over there. So I have two really full-time jobs. And then I also have, I'm married, and I have six kids. I got a little bit going on. And then on top of that, I love social media. I'm obsessed with social media. Obsessed. In fact, I'm going to do something right now. Have you guys heard of Periscope? Have you guys heard of that? How many people are actually on Periscope? Oh. So I thought, what would be better than to live broadcast on Periscope right now? So that's what we're doing right now. You guys are live across the world. That's right. You guys are live. We've got people joining us from across the world right now, live streaming. Can I get some noise? Yeah. And people will join and actually comment on this screen, and we can answer their questions. So this is the craziest thing that I've ever done, that I've ever been involved in. Let me flip the screen around so you guys can see what's up. All right. Flip the screen. Ah. Now check this out. Now everyone do it. Say what's up? Yeah. So I could do this this entire service. I won't though. I won't do that. That would be extremely good. I would not be able to do that. But people actually get on here and they would say, just ask questions. Where are you? What are you doing? I gotta flip this around. I'm getting likes right. See these little hearts right here? That's people across the world that are liking what we're doing because we're in church right now. That's right. Okay, now I'm really distracted. I need to turn it off. So, hey, sorry, world. We got to go. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay. People just started commenting, too. Dang it. All right. Next time, maybe I'll actually do it, and we'll go live, and maybe we can put it up here, and you'll see what people are saying. Maybe not. They say some inappropriate stuff sometimes, so we won't do that. The first time I saw this was at a U2 concert, and people were sharing stuff. I'm like, oh, I must get on that. I must be live. People from Tokyo and Germany and Israel, and it was crazy. But social media is, it certainly can be a good thing and a bad thing. It can be distracting. So we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. But I want to start by telling you guys a story about a dream that I had when I was, I was 9 or 10 years old. So I had this dream. I'm in my room. I wake up. I walk to my kitchen, and there's a sink right here, and there's a window right here. So as I'm walking by the kitchen and the window, I get distracted. I stop because I see in the distance the devil's face. Freaked me out. I woke up immediately. Panicked a little bit. You know, I'm young, so I'm like, oh, that was a nightmare. I tell my parents. They're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Just a bad dream. The next day, it happens again. I get up. I walk. I look. I see the devil's face, I panic, I run to the next window, and then the face is even closer. I'm like, ah! I wake up. Third night, sorry, baby. I'll quiet down. Third night, it happens again. I get up, I go to the first one, I see the face, I go to the second window, I see the face, I go to the third window, it's even closer, and I wake up. Now I'm like, what is going on? I'm telling my mom and my dad. And they're like, oh, it's just a nightmare, whatever, go play outside. I go, okay, all right. Fourth night, wake up, window, there it is. And then I get back around to the kitchen. So I did a full circle all the way to the kitchen, and there's the face right in front of me, and I'm just freaking out. I'm like, and I fall asleep. All right, wake up, sorry. So then last night, happens again. First window, second window, third window, all the way around. I see the face. It's right in front of me. I freak out. And I turn to my right, and sitting on my kitchen counter is Jesus. And he is looking at me with this little smirk, just like. And I'm like, help me, what are you doing? The devil's right there, please. And in an instant, he didn't say a word, but in an instant, I had overwhelming understanding. And this is what he said to me without saying a word. He said, that's out there. I'm in here. You're protected. Let me pray for us real quick and we'll jump into this. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that we all just get to come together and just talk about you and distractions and things in life. And I just ask that you fill this place with your spirit you open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, our spirits to learn what you have for us today. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. So I understood in that moment when I woke up what I could understand at a young age, which was, okay, as long as I had Jesus inside of me, I was protected, I was fine. It wouldn't be until later in life that I would completely understand the meaning of that. Because, I'm 9 or 10. I don't have a lot of stuff going on. It's not a lot of chaos in my life. And what I came to realize is that the distractions, the devil, did succeed in one thing. The devil succeeded in distracting me and taking my focus off of Christ that was probably sitting on the counter the entire time. And he spun me out of control. And every single time I would go to that next window or go to that next location, he was getting closer and closer and closer. The devil in the distance is what I call it. He stole my attention. He stole my focus for a moment. Jesus said, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And there's a lot here. We tend to go through the Bible and just read really, really fast. But if you take a moment and just stop and read the words of Jesus and focus on what he says, you can pull a lot out of this. So we're going to camp right here. I don't have some super long Bible story for you guys we're going to go over. This is where we're going to camp. There's going to be two things I want you guys to know today, and there's going to be two things I want you to do. The first thing I want you to know, the thief destroys life using distraction. So a lot of you know this about me. I was I still am, but I grew up wrestling. And in wrestling, you go and you learn how to do takedowns or throws or do all this stuff. And for a lot of people, you can go do that and learn a lot and have fun. But that's not what makes you a wrestler. There's a different element to it. Before you can ever take someone down or attack them, and this is for all martial arts, for anything, you have to be able to set up your attack. You have to be able to distract your opponent. And you can do that a lot of different ways. You can slap them in the face, make them wink. That's really good. Who here, I wasn't going to do this, but I got to do it. Because Duncan will never watch this, so I'm gonna say this anyway. So I'll spent some time training some wrestling and jujitsu and stuff with Duncan, and he went to his very first grappling tournament. And his first opponent was against a wrestler, and I'm like, okay, just so you know, he's not just gonna shoot on you; he's gonna distract you. He's gonna do something. And he goes, like, what? And I said, well, he might make you blink, so that he can get the shot in. He goes, okay, I got it. So he goes out for his first. He's gonna be so mad at me. So he goes out for his first match. And he goes out there and he's ready to go. And this guy not only does this, he literally slaps him across the face. Like, psh! And Duncan goes, ooh! The guy takes him straight to his back. Boom. I won't tell you how it ended. He lost. But it was a distraction to take his mind off of the takedown. So a lot of things you can do. You can pull on the arms, they pull away. If I want someone to come into me, I'm going to push into them because naturally people don't like to get pushed around. They'll push back and then you drop and you take them down. There's a lot of different things. At the Olympic level of any martial art, particularly wrestling, it's not those that are great at a certain move. It's those that are great at distractions, the ones that are masters of distraction. They'll have 100 different ways to get to one move. That's the elite. That's the best of the best. So my question for you today is this. What distractions are happening in your life right now that you don't even realize that's not the attack that's opening you up for an attack? And I want you to think really long and hard about that. There are things happening that you're allowing, that's coming at you, that doesn't have the intent to destroy you. The distraction is just setting you up for something else. It's the distractions we need to be aware of. And it's that stuff that isn't that bad. You're getting slapped in the face, that's not that bad. It hurts and stings for a little bit, but it's not that bad at all. But I'll tell you this. Whatever you have in your life that might be distracting you from focusing, where you know in your heart you've already labeled that, a little bit over the course of a lot of time escalates quickly. I want you to think about that. So when I was in my 20s, it was early 20s, Yvette and I were recently married, and I was going to college full-time and working full-time, and I was working at Target. And what I did is I caught shoplifters. So I'd run around, and you know, people steal all the time, which makes it so that I can get a paycheck, which is amazing. I love it. But people can't help themselves. They just can't help themselves. They just steal. So this guy walks in, and shoplifters, they have certain behaviors, and they display certain behaviors, and they do certain things. It's just the nature of the business. And once you learn that, it's really easy to find them and catch them. So this guy walks up to this case. It's supposed to be locked. The case is not locked. He goes like this, opens it and realizes it's not locked, and he goes like this. And I'm like, right here, going down. So he opens it up, and he takes $29 electric razor heads. You guys remember the electric shavers that had the three heads on it, and you had to replace those all the time? He takes that, he walks around the store, and I'm following him, staying right behind him, angling. When you're following somebody shoplifting, you never stay the front of them, you're always to the back or in their blind spot. So you get really good practice then. It's a lot of fun. If you ever get a chance to do that job, super cool job. So he pockets it, and I'm like, sweet, I'm going out. So as he walks out the main set of doors, right as he goes through the first set, I walk up and I grab his shoulder and I say, Target security, you need to come back inside with me. And he turns to me and he goes, uh-uh. And I go, uh-huh. And he goes, uh-uh. And I go, I don't think you understand. Target security, come back inside with me. And he says, I don't think you understand. Turns around, grabs his gun. In this moment, everything went slow motion. And this is what I said in my head. I said, if he gets that gun out of that holster, he has the advantage over me. But if I can keep that gun in that holster, I have the advantage. I like my odds. So I did what any stupid 20-year-old would do and said, let's dance. So I already had his arm. I reached around, grabbed his wrist, pushed it back down in the holster. And his other arm is right here. Reached around with my other hand, grabbed the other side, took basically three big steps into him. One, two, three. Clenched, lifted him up in the air, went up on one leg, kicked his feet out from underneath him, and slammed him. Boom! I had this brand new watch that I got 2 days earlier, and it exploded. But you know what exploded more? His face on the cement. Blood. It was awesome. So then I ripped my hand out, and the watch just kind of ripped out. It was all scratched up. I stuck my elbow right in his back, ripped his fingers off the gun, held the gun up, and then everyone around screams, gun! Freaks out. I hand the gun to this other security officer that was in the area uniformed. Turns out later that security officer had never even held a gun before in their life. So I'm lucky they didn't kill us. Get him handcuffs, take him back inside. Cops show up. And the first cop shows up, and he walks in, and he looks at the guy that I arrested. He looks at me. He says, let me see your ID. Checks the ID. Says, can I talk to you for a minute? Takes me out, and he says, do you know who that guy is? And I go, a guy that owes me a new watch? That's what that guy is. You see this? I'm all scratched up. He's like, no, that's a Navy SEAL. And I go, excuse me? I go, how do you know that? He goes, because I'm a Navy SEAL, and he's one of the trainers at the Navy SEAL Academy. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I can't believe I'm alive right now. So of course I call Yvette, and I'm like, hon, you are not going to believe what just happened. She's like, what? She goes, I just took down the shoplifter, and they had a gun. And she's like, what? I go, and it was a Navy SEAL.
And she's like, what? She goes, you only make $9 an hour. And I'm like, I know, best job ever. I cannot believe they pay me to do this. I am never leaving this job. So the reason why I tell you that story is this. This guy, he was, I'm not going to use his name because it's not fair or appropriate, but he had several medals. He was a war hero, very well known. This thing hit the media, the papers. Had lots of attorneys come and talk to me. But this guy had just tons of cash on him, had no reason to steal. And to make a long story short, he had created this habit of theft and stealing over the course of his life. Just little things over the course of his life. And then one day that caught up to him. He was distracted by shiny objects. He had a gun. He had a concealed weapons permit. He had the right to have that. I don't believe he had any intention of doing a robbery, because that's what it turned into because of force or fear with the gun. He probably had no intention of doing that. Probably not a bad guy at all. Would he have shot me? I don't know. I don't think so. But over the course of time, he allowed something to eventually destroy him, destroy his career, destroy his purpose. He spent a year in prison because of that. But let's not be judgmental. All of us have something, distractions, things that can escalate very, very quickly. We all have that. What's your devil in the distance? What is that thing? You all know what that is right now. For some of us, I can't wait to get smashed tonight. I cannot wait to get lit up. That doesn't affect anyone. That doesn't affect me negatively or other people. But you know that's a lie. Some of you right now, I'm calling out a lot of people right now. Some of you are thinking, I can't wait till Matt shuts up so I can get home and get on my phone and look at inappropriate stuff. You guys, we all know that you have full access. Young people, you have full access. We know it. We know all the loopholes. Adults, I know there's people here that struggle with this. Shiny object distracting you. Can I tell you, I probably will have no friends after this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If I talk to you, if you give me 30, 45 minutes to talk to you, I can tell if you watch porn, if you're a guy. By the way you talk, what you say, the jokes you make, you're a creeper. And you don't even know it. Creepers don't know they're creepers. If creepers knew they were creepers, they wouldn't be creepers. But you don't even know because it affects you that well. There's tremendous power in pornography. And it's going to distract you and stop you from your purpose. My distraction, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Work, money, I just go, 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 do, do, do. And that will distract me from the things that are the most important. God and family. I'll get distracted by that. Maybe in my mind, some people out there, they're probably going, oh, my family, they understand, they know. It doesn't negatively affect them if I'm constantly gone. That's not true. You know it's not true. Social media, I talked about it a second ago. Social media. I love social media. I said that, right? So maybe this looks familiar. Devin. Get off the video games. Get your face out of that screen and go outside and get some social time with your friends. Unbelievable. My phone just went off. Dakota Ward. Hi, Matt. I'm totally serious right now. Dakota's totally texting me right now. Messaging me. Hi, Dakota. What, Nicholas? What? I am trying to post something about our family vacation. Totally messed up my thought. Yeah, go. Go play the Friends. Go. My kids are awesome. All right. Next thing I want you to know, number two. What was number one? Somebody yell it. Yell it. What? Yes. Awesome. Second thing I want you to know, distractions will choke you out of life. Distractions will choke you out of life. I've been wanting to do this for a while. Where's Corey Lehman? Come here. Come here. So there's two types of chokes. The first choke I want to talk about is an air choke, okay? An air choke happens right across the front here, and it's painful. It hurts. It's immediate. Let me show you what this is. So this right here is an air choke, okay? And all I have to do is put pressure on the front of his neck, just like this. That was fast, right? Yeah. He's going to have a hard time. You should have tapped or something. Maybe.
I don't tap.
Oh, you don't tap. Good. We'll talk about the next one in a second. So that's an air choke. It happens really, really quick. It's painful. And this is the distraction of worry. Worry happens really, really fast. Think about this. If I wanted to destroy you, I don't have to kill you. All I have to do is distract you, and you'll pretty much self-implode. Here's an example. Hey, just stay there. You're good. We got another show coming, so hold on. Hey, Joshua. Really good job singing. That was epic up here. It was really cool. I was in the back. I was checking it out. It was really, really good. I happened to notice from my angle, up in the far right, I saw some people that when you went for the high notes, they were kind of cringing a little bit. I didn't hear it. They might have thought something was up. I don't really know. So maybe in the last song, look up to the right and see if they make that face or whatever, and you know you're doing right. All right, good job. Go get him, Tiger. So what I just do? I took his focus off of worship and God and put it on himself and distracted him. Choke. So if he chokes on the last song, you guys know why. Because I didn't tell him I was going to say that just now. So that's going to be in his head. That's how I raise my kids, getting them ready for life. Make sure they're prepped. Okay, second type of choke is a blood choke. And this is where you act, right here, you cut off the blood on each part of the neck. Okay, right here. So basically how that looks, go down a little bit. You come right here like this. So your bicep cuts off the blood here, and your forearm cuts off the blood here. You do this right here until eventually he'll pass out. Now, he already told me he's not gonna tap out. Okay. Let me tell you what that looks like from his eyes. Ready? This is how it looks. I'm good. Ain't nothing going on. I can squirm out of this. And then it's gone in seconds. If you guys watch grappling or watch MMA fights, pay really close attention to what the person says when they finally wake him up, when he doesn't tap. He says one of two things. He says either one, what happened, because they don't remember, or number two, did I win? No, bro. You really thought you won? This area of life, this one's all the worries in your life of self-gratification. You can go ahead and take over. Thanks. This is self-gratification. This is the stuff that I was just talking about, all right? This is drugs and alcohol. I'm good. I'm just going to drink every once in a while. Now it's maybe every weekend. Now it's maybe every night. What happened? He killed someone in a drunk driving accident. Pornography. I'm just going to, every time I get an opportunity, I'm going to look. I won't turn away. Now I'm going to stop and look. And I'm going to look for stuff. I'm going to keep looking. What happened? Well, you messed up your marriage. Or you're single because you don't know how to act around people. It's not normal. I'm going to take the job. I'm going to travel. Because I can make a lot of money if I travel. It'll be fine. My wife will understand. My kids will understand. It'll be fine. I'll keep working. Did I win? No, bro. Your kids don't even care if you're around anymore. Your wife doesn't even love you. Happens like that. Take any distraction that you can think of. You do it enough over time. I gave the example earlier about theft. Steal. Eventually, it will escalate very, very quickly. Social media. If you wake up every morning and the very first thing you do is grab your phone to see what happened between 11 p.m. at night and 7, that'll creep up on you. You know, someone said this, so I'm totally ripping this off of something that I heard someone say. But they said, having 1 million followers on social media is like being a millionaire Monopoly. Doesn't really matter. This is what I want you to do. I said two things I want you to know, two things I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Keep your devil in the distance. Keep him in the distance. Shut out the noise. Close it up. Shut out the distractions. Take a break. You walk by that window, you see that devil, close the window. The timing of this was perfect. So I received a text message a few days ago, 4 or 5 days ago. Check out this text message. This is one of our youth. Hey, Matt, the Spirit's doing some crazy things in my life, man. So I'm really trying to eliminate all distractions that I can. This includes social media accounts. So just letting you know. Please pray for me. Thanks a ton. Hope you can understand. That is huge. I'm not calling social media the devil. That's not what I'm saying. But you got to know how much time you should be spending in it. You got to know when it's distracting you from your purpose. If you're taking notes right now, I want you to write this down. If you don't have notes, I want you to text this to yourself. I want you to message this to yourself. I don't care. I want you to write this down. This is really important. The person who develops the willpower to deny themselves will one day have the power to rise above themselves. I'm going to say that one more time. I really want you guys to think about this. A person who develops the willpower to deny themselves will one day have the power to rise above themselves. You got to learn how to say no to yourself. Your soul, your spirit, your body will want to do just about everything and anything it can. And it's not all good for you. I have this this thing that I say to myself constantly. I ask myself, is that above the line or is that below the line? There's certain things that always stay above the line. God and family, for me, always stay above the line. Work and other activities sometimes go above or below the line. Just depends on what's going on. But you have to have the willpower to know when to say no and when to take a break and when to close that window. That is the secret. You got to ignore that devil in the distance. You have to. You got to sit with Jesus, and you got to just focus on him. You got to shut up and listen. When stuff goes crazy and you're just tired and you realize that stuff is getting out of control, this is what I do. I take a walk outside at night and look up in the stars. I just do this. Lord Jesus, I'm just tired, distracted. My priorities are all messed up. Lord, I know that you have a purpose for me. I understand that. But I need clarity. I need understanding. I need your help. I'm looking to you right now. Give me the focus I need. And then in that moment right then, you don't walk back home. You shut your mouth and you listen. And And God will give you overwhelming understanding. It will become clear. You will know what needs to go above or below the line. You will know what that devil in the distance is. Because that's how God talks to you. You're not going to hear an audible voice. You have to shut it down. You have to close the window. You have to take a break. Last thing I want you to do. Live on purpose for a rich and satisfying life. Live on purpose for a rich and satisfying life. The most common question that I get from young people is, what's my purpose and how do I know what my purpose is going to be? It's actually really simple if you think about it. When you become tired of chasing shiny objects, and when you finally decide to trust the one who created you, that's when you'll understand your purpose. Remember the scripture that we talked about? Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Christ also said in Matthew 16:24, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. We're supposed to follow Christ, doing as he did. Did you hear me? We're supposed to follow Christ and do as he did. God did not create people to be self-serving. He didn't go, boom, I'll be selfish. Fight it out. Nah. He created everyone for a purpose, to be unselfish and to serve one another. How you and I live our life unselfishly, that's what shares Christ to the world. Don't let distractions destroy your message. Don't let distractions destroy a rich and satisfying life. So this is a youth invasion, and I just think that it's fitting to end youth invasion to allow one of our youth, Andrew Perez, to have the final word, to use his talent to share with you what's on his heart of spoken word. So can you guys all welcome Andrew Perez to the stage, please?
So this is like a personal, original piece that I wrote. It's called A Conscious Captivity. It's imminent in our lives, and it's so close to sneak in. It's the opportunities we miss by the end of the week because we're all too focused on the weekend. And most of us are controlled by it, but we'll simultaneously have denial. But I know you can't even sit down to read your Bible without being interrupted by your child, because it's everywhere. And us humans have become so accustomed to it, how we become so engulfed in our own Facebook and Instagram crisis that we've all stopped talking about the Christians dying by the hands of ISIS. Or try this. You could tell your friends how to live it right and how to live for Christ and how to carry their cross, but how can you carry when you already have pride, lust, and hate in your arms? It's like a rash. It's easy to find, but it's difficult to deal with, my friends. By the end of the day, you realize that you've become so far gone and you don't know how to get back. In this path that you're on, you'll cry out to God as, why does it take so long, that this must be some sort of fluke? But it's because you've let weed come in and infect your soil, but you can read about that in Luke. So let the truth be the truth. It's the distractions that truly keep you from the Lion of Judah. And we knew this news isn't news to Hebrews, but let me give you a reminder. We're all aware that we're trying to run the race, and we're all aware of the enemy trying to break our legs, but don't miss this. The disgrace that we face that kills our pace is the same lie we tell ourselves every day. That we don't sin very much, we just make a lot of mistakes. But my Christ, my King, didn't die for a mistaker, no, he died for the sinners. But we can all relax, because that means we're all winners. Not that we won, but that Christ had done what nobody else could do. And while we were the nails in his hands, he died thinking of you. So open your eyes and realize this life is so much bigger than you. And it's not about your salary, your career, your car, or how much attention you get on Facebook or YouTube, no. It's our job to realize when enough is enough and to give up control. To stop living this life that's so normal and start living towards the dream that's eternal. So stop wasting time. Your gifts, don't let them become worthless. Instead, let's all live for the perfect prince's purpose.